Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. What's up, Rockstars? It's Matt Johnson, and back with a solo episode. We're talking about four ways to build authority. And this applies, doesn't matter whether you are a business coach or a consultant, someone that really needs to demonstrate your authority in your topic area or your ability to help a specific type of business through your expertise. Or let's say that you are a more of a creative or like an agency owner and you do things for clients and your authority rests on your ability to deliver results in a certain way, right? And we all are kind of in that intersection of selling our expertise, right? People rent our brains and we are there assuming that we are going to lead them to results that they can't get on their own. So how do we build up that authority so that they trust us, right? So that they put themselves in our hands and allow us to lead them to those results that they want but can't get on their own? Well, I want to go over four ways. So they are podcasting, YouTube channel, writing a book, and podcast guest interviews. And I want to give you some of the pros and cons of each so that you can see kind of where things fit into the bigger picture. You can see how they interlock together potentially if you end up doing all four. And if you don't have any of the four, I'll also talk about which is the best one to start with and which to dive into first rather than getting bogged down with some of the other ones that are a bit more complex. So I want to start with podcasting because that's actually where I started. And looking back on it now, it's not how I would have started if I was wanting to build my own authority right off the bat. So if I had a professional service to sell, I would not start a podcast where I did nothing but interview other people, because what ends up happening is you get all of the guest point of view and none of your own. Now, if you're a really skilled conversationalist, and as you get more skilled, it becomes easier to have conversations with other successful people that have their own points of view and still get your own point of view and your expertise across in the conversation. But it's definitely not something that comes naturally to most people right away. And it's something that builds up over time, which means in the first 6 months or maybe even a year of running a podcast, people are going to hear a lot from the guests and they're going to kind of wonder what you actually believe and what your points of view are, unless you make a very specific concerted effort to do solo episodes and other content that where you just speak directly to the audience. In fact, that's one of the things that we've shifted over the years of running our podcast production business is we've encouraged more solo episodes from our clients to make sure that they're speaking their message to their tribe, to their audience. So podcasting is amazing and awesome and has all kinds of fun advantages. You get a lot of authority and credibility by association. You get a lot of social proof of being able to have super high level conversations with other really successful, well-known people. So that's a very tangible and immediate benefit of podcasting. But there is a danger there if you do nothing but interview people that the audience comes away thinking, hey, he's an awesome interviewer and he has great guests, so I'm going to keep listening to his show. But people don't really know or care what you do and what your expertise is unless you're extremely good at conveying that in the conversation or unless you shift to doing more solo content where you speak directly to the audience. So those are some of the pros and cons of podcasting. Now, some of those same things apply to a YouTube channel, although fewer people use either a YouTube channel to interview other people. So there's a little bit less danger of getting lost in the shuffle of guests. But some of the same things can happen where people are looking for content. And the thing about YouTube is the thing that people are most likely to look for is tactical content, right? So how do I X? How do I attract more clients? How do I use Facebook? How do I use LinkedIn? How do I run a Facebook ad? How do I do X, Y, and Z to grow my business? So in a YouTube channel, you do have to be very intentional unless you're going to run ads and really force your content to be put in front of people actively. If you're going to put up a YouTube channel where you expect people to come to you, it's critically important to look at what people are searching for tactically and make content for that. That's the tip of your spear. And then some of your other bigger idea content that shows off your expertise needs to be available on your channel and will most often come up as more of a recommended video once they find one of your very tactical videos first. That's the exact thing that I've experienced with my real estate show, Real Estate Uncensored, where at one point, 60 to 70% of our audience came to us through YouTube, but it was because we had very tactical podcast episodes about very, very specific things that people were searching for on YouTube. And so they would search for that topic. They would find a more well-known video first, and then our video would pop up along the right side in the recommended videos. They would click on it. They would enjoy the content, and then they would get into our channel and see the other episodes we did on broader topics. And that's kind of the funnel that people follow on YouTube. It's definitely worked for me in the real estate space, and it can absolutely work for other folks as long as you have and make it a point to create very, very tactical content on YouTube. So the third thing is writing a book. And writing a book is really interesting. I've got a draft of a book done and it'll come out next year, and I'm super excited about that. However, obviously I did launch my podcast UX before coming out with the UX book, and there's a few specific reasons for that. Writing a book is an incredible authority and credibility statement, because people still have the impression that, look, if you've written a book, you are an authority, if not the authority, on this topic. And in fact, if they can't find, or if they don't know enough of another book on your topic, they consider you the authority in that space. Right now, there's nothing that rivals a book in pure credibility. Once people find out you've written a book on the topic, especially if it looks like a credible book just by the cover alone, people, for the most part, especially the general public, don't know or care whether it was traditionally published, hybrid published, or self-published, which is a huge opportunity for any of us that have any kind of expertise to sell, because the barrier to entry to writing a book and the barrier to entry to get it to be an Amazon number one bestseller has essentially crashed. It's not that hard. It's really a matter of just hiring the right people and doing what they tell you to do. And so there's an incredible opportunity right now in this space of time to become a quote number one bestseller with actually not that much money, resources, or even much of a following or an audience. Now, the bigger the audience you have going into releasing a book, the better. And that's why I chose to launch a podcast first before launching a book around my expertise, because the bigger the audience you have to sell the book to, the bigger a head start you get, the more reviews you get right out of the gate, the more credibility you have, and it just kicks off a very nice, virtuous cycle. But in terms of pure credibility and pure authority, a book is an amazing thing. However, a book is a one-time, especially launching a book, is a one-time project. And then there's no way to really stay and keep yourself in front of people. It'll lead to speaking engagements, and it'll lead to a lot of other fun things, even some podcast interviews, which is the next thing that we'll get into. But a book ultimately has the potential to die on the shelf. Right? If you have to really keep it out there in front of people in order for it to keep generating authority, versus something like a podcast or a YouTube channel that is ongoing and you're continually putting effort into it, and it stays in front of people and it keeps you top of mind. So a book has the potential to sit on a shelf versus a platform like a YouTube channel or a podcast, where you're going to stay constantly top of mind with your tribe of people. So those are the pros and cons of the first three. Now let me turn to podcast interviews and why I think they're so important. And regardless of whether you have any of the other three in place, this is where I think everyone should start. Even if you don't have any of the other three, or if you have all of them, adding podcast guest interviews will add essentially fuel to the fire that drives the success of all three of those other elements. So podcast guest interviews, for those that are, they're not familiar with it, is when you become a featured guest and you are interviewed on other people's podcasts, right? You are the guest expert showing up and speaking your point of view, and it's their responsibility to then promote that to their tribe. So if we pick our podcast correctly, you can be in front of the small or even a large audience of your exact ideal clients. Now, the dirty little secret here is that the bigger the audience is not necessarily better, right? So getting an opportunity to be on Tim Ferriss may not drive as much results if you're a dental coach as going on a podcast that's all about how to build a successful dental practice, right? The selling environment matters. So the podcast that you are a guest on is like going into a selling environment. People have certain expectations, and they have a certain niche audience that's attracted to a very specific, smaller niche podcast. So surprisingly, the more that you niche down, instead of going after the biggest audience you can possibly find and pitching yourself on the biggest shows, counterintuitively, you'll get some of the best results ever by going on smaller, very defined, very niche business podcasts. And so it creates this selling environment where people are expecting to come to get content to help them grow their business and in that very specific niche that you operate in. So it creates a really good virtuous cycle where they're showing up expecting the content, you're delivering the content, you get credibility because you're being interviewed. Now, if you stack on top of that, those other ways to build an authority, such as, oh, I've written the book on this topic, or I also host a podcast, or I'm also on YouTube and where I talk about these topics, then it gives people even more authority, even more credibility than you just being interviewed as a guest. Now, here's the thing about podcast interviews is they can be as consistent or inconsistent as you want them to be, right? So you can go on a couple a week, or you can do an all-out blitz where you go on 50 in 3 months and then nobody hears from you for the rest of the year. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but they each have their place. So podcast guest interviews don't necessarily lock you into any sort of consistent rhythmic structure of marketing. It's something you can turn off and turn on. It can ebb and flow. And that's entirely your option, which one you want to do. Now, I would always recommend consistency over a big blitz, but I can tell you that the biggest authors, no matter who they are out there in the business world, the Grant Cardones, the Gary Vaynerchuks, Tony Robbins, all of them nowadays, when they're releasing a book, they go on a podcast tour. They get as many guest interviews they can find. It almost doesn't matter. As long as you hit them at the right time, you can have a relatively small show, and odds are they're going to say yes. Same thing goes for you as a guest. So when you have something to promote, learn the lesson of what's working for guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and go on every podcast you can possibly get your hands on and do your blitz, right? When you have a book to promote, when you have a podcast to promote, being a guest on other podcasts is one of the best ways to reach a very specific target niche of people that you want to reach and get them to take action. So in fact, I just interviewed a gentleman today on my podcast who said the best thing he's ever done for book sales is to be a guest on podcasts. He said, the bottom line is this: when I'm a guest on podcast, I sell books. Period. End of story. And I've heard that from a lot of other people. Jay Samet, the author of Disrupt You, said the same thing. One of my clients, Dana Malstaff, can directly attribute six figures of direct income into her business just in the first year from going on podcast. In fact, her first hire was an assistant to do nothing but pitch her as a guest on podcast. And so there's a ton of success stories out there from people who use this approach. And to me, it's the one that's the most flexible and it's the easiest to get started in right away. And there's a lot, a lot more to it. And we can talk about that in other videos, but those are the four ways that I feel like to build authority in this new kind of exponential economy where we have to convey our expertise. We have to build authority and credibility because that's what gets people to trust us to lead them to the results that they want. And I cannot emphasize that point enough. David Baker makes an amazing point. He said, everything in your business will change when you stop losing sleep over your own business and start losing sleep over your customer's business. And if that's what we really care about getting results for our clients, then we'll lose sleep over them and we'll be able to convey that and we'll be able to lead them to the results that they want when they hire us. And the more that we can use these four ways to build authority to convey that to people, the more trust they're going to have and the more they're going to show up and pay us to lead them to the results that they want. So thanks so much for watching and listening. I appreciate it. This has been Four Strategies to Build Authority on the UX Podcast. Now, I believe that clarity releases energy. So I hope that this episode creates clarity for you by laying out a path forward in your business. Now, if you're interested in starting a podcast like this to help you break into a new industry or to establish yourself as an authority in a niche market, let's talk. We have a complete done-for-you podcasting service. That is my agency that I'm building and growing, and I'd love to talk to you about what we can potentially do for you. You can learn more at pursuingresults.com to get a sense of what our service is all about. And if you're ready, if you're really seriously thinking about starting a podcast, I'm happy to brainstorm your ideas and talk about the positioning of your podcast within the market, something that you can take away whether we end up working together or not. So you can grab a time on my calendar for a podcast brainstorm call at bookjohnson.com. That is bookjohnson.com. I just want to thank you again for listening to the show, for leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes, and more importantly, for investing your time, your energy, your attention into the show. It really means the world to me that you would do that. So again, this is the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine, and we'll see you on the next episode.